Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
What is church and why is it important? There's a lot of different concepts and definitions of what a church is and how a church should function in today's culture. Today with Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to look at God's original plan for the local New Testament church. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we study a series entitled, I Will Build My Church. What is church? What did God mean when he made that statement? And how has it been redefined and reappropriated in today's culture? A lot of things, a lot of different institutions use the word church that don't really align with Jesus' original statement, I will build my church. And so, what is church? Why is it important? And how does that matter for your life? You're in store for a great treat as we study the local church. I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Lots of resources for your spiritual growth when you follow us at dailyintheword.org. Today we study real worship, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's Paul Chappell.
You see, there are those who reject Jesus, and so instead of preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, instead of preaching the blood atonement, there are those today who preach about Earth Day and saving the whales and equal rights and preach about every kind of social this and that. There are those who stand up and talk about every flowery subject, but I say again, until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is preached, we have not had worship. You must worship in spirit and in truth. Why is it that so many people reject the truth? Why is it that so many Christians say, hey, I'm going to go four-wheeling this week. Cool. Then I got to go to church. The old lady makes me. By the way, you better take that old lady to the couples retreat or you'll be paying the old lady alimony. Better watch that old lady stuff. Why is it that some people get so excited about things that are temporal, and those things are okay maybe, shooting and boating and those things, but I'm saying that when you're in love with Jesus, getting to the house of God's exciting too. Why is that? John 6:63 is in your notes. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth what? Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen, very simply and very quickly, it's the Holy Spirit that brought you to life spiritually. And when you're alive, you want to know what the book says because the words, they are spirit. And you have the spirit, and this book is of the spirit, and there's something that draws you to the book. And if you're sitting here today as a saved person, something and someone named the Holy Spirit has drawn you today to church because you want to hear what the Spirit has to say. You see, when someone doesn't want to hear what the Spirit has to say, it may be that they don't have the spirit within them, because like a magnet attracts a like substance of metal, so the Spirit of God attracts you unto himself. So the people of worship, that's all of us. And the priority of worship is the spirit and the truth. And when there's a spirit of emotion without the preached truth, then there has been no worship. And I want you to understand, it's not just that Lancaster Baptist has a distinct worship philosophy. It's that we have a biblical worship philosophy that if the word is not preached and Christ is not exalted, I don't care how many songs were sung or how many poems were read or how many genuflexes somebody went up and down doing their deal, until Christ is exalted, worship has not taken place. Notice thirdly and finally, the practice of worship. Come back, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's finish this morning by learning how to worship. And this is an amazing text. Now, I'd like you to see it in your notes or even open your Bibles. It would be a little better for this. Because I want you to understand what God's calling us to do as a church, to worship Him. We are the people of worship. The priority of worship is the truth, walking in His Spirit. But notice now, if you would, back to our text, verse 5 of 1 Peter 2. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. We covered that. That's the church. And holy priesthood, that's you, not just me. That's all of us. And so all of us are this holy priesthood. And we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now then, what is the practice of worship? Someone says, okay, worship is having a right heart and ascribing worth to God, and it must revolve around the Spirit and the truth. But how do you do it? Boy, there's lots of different ideas about how to do it. But let's go back to the Bible. How do we worship God? Notice, first of all, we worship God by holding up the truth. By holding up the truth. Now, come back to that phrase for just a moment, as lively stones. One of the responsibilities of this house of worship is that spiritually all of us come together to hold up, to celebrate, to testify of the truth, because the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And it's our job as a church to lift up the truth. Now, do you understand, if we don't lift up the truth of Jesus Christ, excuse me, the public schools are not going to lift that truth up anymore. A lot of us grew up in the day when you could sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. There'll be an offering after the service for that special song. We'll put a plate out there for you. How many of you remember singing songs like that when you were in public school? Anybody? We can't do that anymore. We don't want children thinking about the Lord. You know, we don't want to offend one half of 1%. So we can't expect the public school to lift this name up. You can't expect corporate America to lift this name up. The fact is that our responsibility as a church is to hold up the truth. And this that we are doing right now is the central part of worship, as we hold up the truth of Jesus Christ. One author said this, word and worship belong indissolubly together. All worship is an intelligent and loving response to the revelation of God, because it is the adoration of His name. Therefore, acceptable worship is impossible without preaching. For preaching is making known the name of the Lord, and worship is praising the name of the Lord made known. And I'm making it known this morning, and you ought to be thanking God for the name I'm making known right now. Because the name that we want to make known at Lancaster Baptist Church is the name that is above all names, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to hold up the truth in two areas. First, for the saints, every one of us. That was one of the vital parts of worship for Israel. Look at the verse here in Deuteronomy 17, 18. God gave these instructions for the future time when Israel would have a king. And He said, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and these statutes to do them. Now, the original scroll of the ancient scriptures, known as the law, was deposited in the sanctuary under the custody of the priests. And listen carefully, God said, when the time comes that you get a king, I want a copy of my law to be given from the priests to the king, so that the king will fear me, so that the king will be a good king, so that the truth will be held up in the kingdom. And God said, I want my law lifted up in my kingdom. And today He says, I want my word lifted up in my church. How many of you, by the way, wish that every elected official would have the fear of the Lord from the word of the Lord today? I pray for our president, and I respect the office he holds, and I'm glad that he's got a wife and two daughters that he loves, and I thank God for the good things he does. But it concerns me when in his first year of office he played golf 26 times and went to church 3. Someone said, well, what about your church attendance? He said, well, I get a little devotional on my BlackBerry sometimes, and oftentimes he'll praise the Quran. We've heard it dozens of times now, and other such documents. I'm not saying he should put them down. I'm not saying he doesn't represent all the people. I'm just saying this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'm just preaching to you today what God said in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, I want my king to have my law in his possession, and I want my king to honor me and fear me. And I'm saying today, in the Old Testament, he said, I want my king to have my word, and in the New Testament, I want my church. By the way, how many of you believe this is his church? He said, I want my church to lift up the truth, you see. Now listen carefully, folks. When this truth is being lifted up, we have an obligation to hear it and obey it. Two men were talking the other day, and one of them said, I'm really concerned about my wife. She talks to herself a lot these days. The other said, you know, mine does too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening. A lot of marriages like that, you know. One-way communication. God says, now look at when the truth is held up, you better be listening. Folks, we're preaching some of the fundamentals of our faith today. This isn't the time to be thinking, I hope Pastor hurries because the Methodists are going to beat us to the hometown buffet if he doesn't quit right at 12. We need to hear the truth. The saints need it. The lost need it. 1 Corinthians 14:24. If all prophesy, he's speaking here of the importance of teaching over the temporary gift of tongues. He said, if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. In other words, it ought to be so clear that when an unsaved man comes in here and he hears us singing, great is thy faithfulness, and he hears the preacher preaching about Jesus Christ and all of us testifying of our faith in Christ, that he would come under conviction of the truth and that he would begin to worship the same God that we worship. And so it's important that we hold up the truth for those of us who know the truth and for those who don't know the truth. And then notice, secondly, we need to honor Christ with sacrifice. Someone says, Pastor, I'm a believer priest. I just found out today. I didn't know I was a priest, but I know now. You want to confuse your buddies at work tomorrow? Go and tell them, God's called me to the priesthood. I found out at church I'm a part of the royal priesthood, and you are. And I'm going to show you how. How can you honor Christ? Would you look for a moment at Hebrews 9:14 in your notes? It says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, the verse says that since Jesus shed his blood, shouldn't we turn from dead, vain living and start to serve him? I don't know if you've ever been to the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C. I don't know why. I walked through many of the memorials, but when I got to that one, the tears began to flow. Perhaps because it's closer to our lifetime. Perhaps because so many died there. A friend of mine was there, and he saw a man standing at the memorial, putting his hand up against the inscription of a name. Tears were flowing down his face. My friend put his arm around the shoulder of this fellow, and he said, hey, I'm a pastor. Can I pray for you? The man said, okay. The pastor said, what's going on here? The man said, well, in Vietnam, we were under fire, and this man right here stepped out in the line of fire, and he took the bullet that was meant for me. And he said, I feel like the least I can do is come by once a year and say thank you. Now, my friend, every one of us were condemned to a Christless hell for all of eternity. And Jesus Christ hung on the cross and shed his blood and took the penalty for you and for me. How do you respond to that? How do we worship the God who did that? Why wouldn't we want to respond to that? We're to honor him with our sacrifice. We are to turn from our dead works and serve the living God. You see, when you consider all the words used for worship, you find that worship involves both attitudes and actions. And Warren Wiersbe says, not only is there awe and reverence, but there will be praising and serving. It's not enough to just really respect what Jesus did. Worship is showing him how much you appreciate what he did. And I want to give you, as we close, four ways to worship God. And all of you now understanding that we're all the worship team, we're all believer priests, how can we express our worship to Him? Number one, with the sacrifice of our person. The sacrifice of our person. That is, this Thanksgiving week would be a great time to start every day of your life saying, Lord, today I surrender my life to You. Look at what it says in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your, what do the next two words say? Which is your what? God says, I want to challenge you in your matter of worship to give yourselves your will, to make me your Lord and you my servant. I want you to present yourselves a sacrifice to me. And He says, that's your reasonable service. If the Lord wanted you in church tonight, if the Lord wants you at the Tuesday night Thanksgiving service, my friend, that is not an unreasonable request. It is reasonable that the one who died for me would request of me my life in surrender to Him. It's a reasonable request. The sacrifice of our person. Oswald Chambers called this giving up my right to myself and surrendering myself to the Lord. Notice, secondly, we can not only say, Lord, here's my life, take it to control it. Secondly, we can offer the sacrifice of praise as believer priests. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Folks, we don't just praise on Sunday. Some of you are going to see some friends or some relatives this week, and some of them might say, how's the job going? It wouldn't be wrong to say, I just want to praise God that I still have it. They might say, boy, your children are growing. It wouldn't be wrong to say, I just thank the Lord for His blessing upon our children. Folks, it's okay to praise God around people who don't believe in God. It's okay to praise God on Monday. He says, to praise me, notice there, continually. Years ago, we had a neighbor lady that I got to know in an unusual way. She would smoke a lot and throw her cigarettes over my backyard. My father-in-law helped us get a jacuzzi with like a plastic cover on the top of it. And one day I went out and she had thrown a cigarette on top of the plastic cover. And it burned a hole in it. You say, what was your spiritual response? I was ticked off. That was my spiritual response. I got it right with the Lord before I talked to her, and I went over and graciously said, hello, dear neighbor. I'm pretty sure by the trajectory of these cigarette butts that these are coming from your yard, and I just want to ask you if you'd stop, you know, throwing cigarettes in my yard. And she said she would. She never really totally confessed, but, you know, she said she would. And that's how we got to know each other. And so a few months later, I saw her, and I went over to talk and invite her to church. She said, oh, she said, I don't think I ever told you I'm an ordained Pentecostal minister. I said, oh, I guess I didn't know that. She said, that's right. She said, my thing is music. She said, in fact, if you ever want me to come to Lancaster Baptist and do a gig, I'm available. She said, I'll tell you what, we can really do some worship for you. And folks, we've never really had gigs here at Lancaster Baptist. And you know, God doesn't want you to smoke like a fiend and live for the world and desecrate someone's property and just forget all about Him 6 days a week and then show up on Sunday and go, oh yes, praise Him, oh boy. And have a little gig. Look at verse number 15 there. He says, you can praise Him continually. Boy, that ought to be a good practice this week. Just thank Him and praise Him. So I can give Him my life as a believer priest. I can give Him praise. Thirdly, how about the sacrifice of prayer? Hebrews chapter 4 calls us to come boldly into the house of prayer, into the presence of God. Revelation 5 and verse 8 speaks of the prayers of the saints. In Revelation 5, speaking of them as golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, God says those prayers are precious to Him, and He is pleased with them. We can come to Him giving Him our person, giving Him our praise, giving Him our prayer. Fourthly, we come to worship Him with the sacrifice of our possessions, giving to Him. You see, He's touched my heart. I want to give to Him. Now, I've seen people give to the monks in Thailand fruit, and I've seen people in Korea place money at the foot of a statue of Buddha. There's something in people's hearts that wants to worship, but let me tell you what, when you get the object right and you know you're worshiping the one who shed His blood for you, you don't give the offering grudgingly. You're just kind of glad. You can say, Lord, here's some worship. People say, I gave that money to the church. No, no. I worship Jesus today, my church. I gave it to Jesus today. Turn in your Bible as we close to Philippians 4:15. Some of you gave in the Thanksgiving offering today. Thanksgiving. Let's say it. Thanks. You gave thanks. Some of you will give tonight. But giving thanks is a part of worship. It's not just some program of the church. Philippians 4:15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now notice, they communicated with him with giving and receiving. Maybe they gave money, maybe they gave clothes or food. Verse 18 says, but I have all and I abound and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, watch this now, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. They sent their offering to the Apostle Paul, and God looked down from heaven and said, that is an acceptable sacrifice that pleases me when they give. When God looked down this morning and saw the Lancaster Baptist Church giving, and he saw perhaps a teenager sacrificing and giving, and maybe he saw someone whose work's a little unsteady right now, and yet they gave to him, and God said, look at my believer priests down there offering up worship to me. He said, that is well pleasing to me when my believer priests worship me in the living house called the church, where the lively stones are lifting up the truth, and where they're sacrificing in various ways with their prayer, with their praise, with their offerings and gifts. And my friend, it is a privilege to give to the Lord Jesus Christ as believer priests, and to know that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let me ask you this morning, how's your worship? Do you have the object right? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Or are you like the woman at the well saying, well, I worship there and the Baptists worship here and it's all kind of the same? No. Has there been a time in your life when you turned from yourself and your sin and you accepted the truth of who Jesus Christ is, and you believe today that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that one day you'll spend eternity with him in heaven? Have you come to that place? Is Jesus the object of your worship? Do you know him as your Savior? And if you do, how's your worship? How's your presentation of self? Are you giving your life to him as a living sacrifice? How's your prayer? Are you talking to him? How's your praise? Is it okay at work when you're turning the wrench to say, boy, God's given me a good day? How's your giving to the Lord? Is it intermittent? Is it like paying taxes? Or is it like giving an engagement ring to someone you love? How's your worship today? Is it from the heart? Is it saying, Lord, I ascribe worth to you today and I give to you today? As a believer, may we worship him with our whole hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church, this living house made up of living stones. Thank you for these believer priests here today, that all of us can worship you.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching and preaching through a series entitled, I Will Build My Church. We're taking a look at God's original plan and intent for local church ministry. What is it? Why is it important? And how does it matter for your life today? You can find out more about this series and previous Daily in the Word programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Launch Out at His Word daily devotional, read through the Bible in a year, and receive a daily word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell and from God's Word every day in your email box. That's completely free of charge. You can also download Daily in the Word and take it with you via the podcast. Place it on your phone, iPod, or computer, or refer a friend to listen to Daily in the Word. All of this and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and a host of friends August 9th through 16th, 2014, for a marvelous cruise to Alaska. 7 days of adventure aboard a beautiful cruise ship. You'll enjoy the beauty of God's creation, the fellowship of Christian friends, and some great Bible teaching and preaching. Again, that's August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Now is the time to register and reserve your place on the ship. You can find out more about the cruise and get questions answered when you visit us again at dailyintheword.org. The other thing you can do is give us a call, toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell personally and follow his ministry, be sure to visit his blog at paulchappell.com. That's paulchappell.com. If you're interested in his books and other resources for spiritual growth, be sure to visit strivingtogether.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.